Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing? Episode number 324, Drink Until You Podcast, the only podcast that lasts until the last drop. How the hell is your Sunday going? How the hell was your week? Hope everybody's okay. I hope you're safe out there. I'm drinking my lime-flavored bubbly with a little bit of vodka. It's almost like a Sprite with vodka without all the sugar. You know, I get a little hint of lime. The vodka's obviously strong when there's no sugar to mix it with. But it's going to do the trick. If you got them, drink them. Bottoms up. Cheers, everybody. Out of my ever classy plastic QT cup. They're going to sponsor this podcast one day. I swear, if I mention their cup enough, they're going to sponsor this podcast. Let's go ahead and talk about it. This freaking eclipse, man. It's not that it's not cool to me. I think it's cool. You know, it doesn't happen very often. It is an event. The thing I'm most interested in seeing is like the, you know, I think Texas is one of the places where the moon will fully be covering the sun. So we'll get 100% eclipse, I believe. There's other parts where it's only, you know, 70% or even 60% I saw yesterday on the video I was watching. But I think it'll be cool to see how the temperature changes. You know, they say it's supposed to drop down. Obviously, the moon will be blocking the heat a little bit. I'm interested to see how many degrees it changes. Is it going to be a 20-degree change? Is it going to be a 40-degree change? And that's something that's always kind of fascinated me about the Earth itself and the however many billions of years it's been around. Just how many changes we've gone through to like get to this point, you know what I mean? There were points in time, and I'm no scientist, let me go ahead and say right off the bat, I'm going to use very basic terms, but I mean, there were points in time in history of this planet where the temperature drop or the temperature rise was drastic. It wasn't 40 degrees. It was like life altering, too cold to survive or too hot to survive conditions, which I've always been fascinated by that just for the fact of, you know, you kind of want to be a fly on the wall in that situation. I would like to be there without actually being there and obviously just dying of whatever, freezing to death. And if you didn't die of freezing to death, if you found a way, everything, your other food sources had no way to survive. So then you're just starving to death. I've always kind of just been fascinated by that, like how the planet can just change so drastically over a short period of time and either heat up or cool down. And all that happening, who knows how many times over the billions of years, and just to get us to this point to where everything is pretty, regular, you know, it's, you know, we see temperature changes. You know, obviously in the Earth, we've been talking about that global warming for a while now. But it's not as drastic. It's not all in, you know, the span of a month's time. It went from like 75 degrees to negative, I don't know, negative something, negative 50. What is it in Alaska and Antarctica? I don't know how cold it is there. It's beyond cold. You know, it's like the whole planet just changing like that. It's pretty fascinating. Yeah, I saw something the other day about Antarctica. Basically, like, if you're out there doing work, you know, if whatever, you're a scientist, you're doing whatever kind of work, physical labor probably, you actually have to, like, try to regulate how much you sweat. So people, before they go to Antarctica, they actually, like, train themselves like you would an athlete, to basically like be in the best conditioning possible so you don't sweat as much, which in those kind of temperatures, sweating, I mean, it can be lethal. It can straight up kill you. You got too much water on your body with the conditions outside. I mean, you know what happens when you put a water bottle in the freezer, you know, that's pretty much what you're just a human popsicle, I guess. So I thought that was pretty fascinating. You know, having to get in good enough shape to where it's like, if you start to get hot, you just got to take a break from your job, I guess. Cause, and I couldn't survive like that, dude. I'm just the sweatiest person. Like one, if, as long as I'm staying cool, I'm under a fan or something, I'm okay. But the second I get up to like walk somewhere else, those couple of steps, I've always been a furnace. You know, I'm always hot, which doesn't help when it comes to sweating. So if I went to a place like that, oh my God, it would just be like a couple of steps and I'd be scared for my life, you know? So yeah, I am interested in that, but I just, you know, I've seen a lot of, license plates from out of town recently, which I don't care. That's cool. Come into town, see the event, hang out. I just don't know what makes this one so different, you know, like, I've seen a couple of eclipses in my time, you know, and I never remember them putting out like a public service announcement to like let people know, just stay indoors, you know, if at all possible. Maybe not stay indoors, but just don't travel. Don't be on the roads. I've never heard that kind of warning before for an eclipse. So it's like, what makes this one different? You know, looking at the map. Someone posted a map of like all the Airbnbs and all the red dots on the map that were, you know, in the path of where the eclipse is going to go. They're all just sold out. I mean, it's just a red strip across America where all these Airbnbs are just sold out. So I did a little research myself. I went on to Airbnb, of course. I went on to booking.com. Just to look at some, you know, some prices around here, some local prices, dude. It's crazy on booking.com at this point, and pretty much starting on Friday-ish. On Friday, you could get a room for a single night for like $140, something like that, which is crazy. I mean, if you're staying at a freaking Motel 6, I'm not paying $140. I'm just not. You know, that's crazy. On top of it, they want a damn deposit, so they're going to hold $50. You're really spending $200, and you'll get the $50 back, you know, pretty much whenever they feel like it, is what it seems like. Yeah, it'll come back in 2 to 3 days. After that 2 to 3 days, the money's not in there. You call them, oh, yeah, it's 5 to 7 business days. Like, what the fuck, dude? I need my money back. I want my money back. But anyways, so yeah, about $150 looking at it on Friday. Looking at it yesterday, which would be Saturday, dude. I mean, there's nothing under $300. If it's in that path of the eclipse, I mean, it's outrageous. You know, on Airbnb, same thing. It's not quite as bad, but where you would pay, you know, about $50 for a room for the night, I mean, you're paying at least $100. I saw $97, which was reasonable. More reasonable, but yeah, that I'm sure that room normally goes for $50 a night, which you could get 3 nights out of that. 50, 50, and 50. If you're gonna spend $150, you could get 3 nights and be okay, but not for a single night. That's nuts, dude. I just don't know. And I've watched videos, you know, I've talked to friends about it. I just don't know what makes this one so different. I do think it's cool that there are parts of the country where it won't be a full eclipse. You know, like I believe more down south, you're going to get more of a full eclipse. I could be wrong. I watched a video, but it was just so, it's like, if it's a 30-second video, I'd never pay attention. And it's like, I'm watching the video and then it starts over and I don't even realize. So I'm like losing track in my mind of which states are like fully going to be covered. You know, but I believe Texas is one that's supposed to be 100%. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, I mean, I've listened to people talk about it. I mean, it's like, it's gotta be for like horoscope people or like tarot people. It's gotta be something along those lines, how, you know, supposedly things are going to shift and things are going to change, you know, which I'm not doubting that. You know, the physical world, things will, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to change. I don't know too much about it, but Yeah, that's just my take on it. I just don't see why this one is such a big deal. Like, how is this different from any of the other ones that we, you know, we went to work normally and it wasn't a big deal, you know? I'm sure people came in from out of town, but it wasn't like it is this time to where it's like it's they're basically making it sound like if you leave your house and you have a 20-minute drive, it's going to take you 2 hours to get there because of all the cars on the road coming into town or, you know, driving to whatever location. Actually, man, if I had the day off, I know a high spot, like a high point that I'd like to drive to. Texas is pretty, I mean, we have some hills and stuff, at least where I'm from, around Dallas or whatever, but we don't have any mountains. You know, you can't go to the top of a mountain to view something like this. So I know a high point I'd really like to go to, but I think I will be working. Definitely going to step outside, you know, put my solar glasses on, take a look. It's like 5 minutes of that though, and it's like, I'm done. It's over, you know? So there's gotta be more to it. I mean, you wouldn't spend all that money on an Airbnb and all the travel and everything to just look at it for 5 minutes and be like, oh, cool. I'm glad I spent all that money for that small amount of entertainment. Like, what are they going to be doing the whole time? I say 5 minutes and my fascination's done. You know, like what will they be doing? What will the people that came in from out of town be doing? I don't know. I don't know how it all works. Like I said, I've watched videos and stuff. It just doesn't make any, I mean, it's so vague what people say. There's going to be a shift and, you know, it's like, okay, what the fuck does that mean? Supposedly it's going to cause, some earthquakes in certain places. I can't remember the fault line they cited the other day, but, somewhere up north, more up north. Not in Texas. It's a few states up. I can't even remember which state it's in. But supposedly it's going to cause some earthquakes and, you know, physical changes like that. But hopefully everybody's safe. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. If you haven't prepared to this point, I mean, you know, what are you doing? You've known it's coming. So anyway, that's just kind of my little take on it. I am somewhat fascinated, but I don't get the huge fascination with it. So anyways, let's take another drink. Cheers, everybody. So moving on, a little NHL. Congratulations to my Dallas Stars. For the first time in our franchise's history, we had an 8-game winning streak, which sadly, Saturday, there was a 2:30 game. A day game for us against the Blackhawks. Sadly, came to an end. That game would have made it 9 in a row, which would have been our new best record for unbeaten streak in a regular season. Unfortunately, it didn't happen, but I'm happy that we finally popped that cherry of the 7 games. We could always, even through the Minnesota North Stars, we could always get 7 wins in a row. We could just never get that 8th. You know, even our great teams back in the 90s with Mike Modano and stuff, we could always get the 7 wins in a row. We could just never get to the 8. And we finally did that. Happy to see that. And, you know, honestly, yesterday during the Blackhawks game, we had a pretty good chance to extend it to 9. Like, we kind of waited a little too late to fight back as hard as we did, it seemed like. But yeah, I mean, we had a pretty decent chance with like 4 minutes left. I think it was like 3-2 by that point. And 4 minutes left is a long time to score a single goal. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it. The game ended. Dude, the weirdest call too. The refs were all mixed up yesterday. They had to get a second ref to announce what the first ref just said. Dude, I swear to God, it was basically like this. We scored a goal. The Dallas Stars scored a goal, which would have made it 3-2 at the time. And, you know, they're looking at it, they're reviewing it, and the ref comes out and he goes, the call on the ice stands, we have a good goal. And he points to, like, center. And I'm listening to this on the radio, so I don't see it, but they're describing it so well on the radio, Josh and Razor. And he points to center ice and says, "We have a good goal." And then he immediately like changes it. He's like, I mean, it's not a good goal. We have no goal on the play. It's like the weirdest shit, dude. Like, how did you mess that up? There's a 50, it's 50-50, good goal or not. You know what I mean? And so he basically points to center ice, says it's a good goal, and immediately it's like, I meant not a good goal. We don't have a goal. There is no goal on the ice. So then he turns his mic off, and, you know, the refs talk to each other, and they have to have another ref just to clarify it's not a good goal. There is no goal on the play, you know, and the crowds, you know, a lot of Stars fans. I think we were in Chicago yesterday. I don't even remember. It was just weird, you know, like, how did you mess that one up? It was exciting. I mean, even Razor on the broadcast, he goes, "We have a good goal." I mean, it's not a goal. There's no goal on the play. And even Razor was like, "What? Like, what the hell, dude? What are you doing?" So yeah, like in just a split second, I was super ecstatic. I'm like, "All right, 3-2. I think there was more time left in the game at that point. Like, "All right, 3-2. And then immediately just my dreams were crushed. Oh my God. No, it's not. It's 3-1 still, even though he just, built me up just to bring me down, you know. That was kind of funny. It reminds me of that. Refs are so funny, too, when they want to be. It reminds me of that ref. Somebody, I don't know what they did. It was in the NHL, and the ref just turns on the mic after the guy's skating to the box after they call the penalty on him. And the ref's like, "You can't do that. 2 minutes for tripping," or whatever it was. Like, I love this, straight to the point. So yeah, my Dallas Stars are hanging in there. I believe we are behind, with that loss yesterday, we are behind Boston. We are behind the Rangers. Still first place in our division, I believe. But either third or fourth place for that President's Trophy, which, you know, it's kind of funny, as much as I talked about not caring about the President's Trophy, like, once I saw, you know, the end of the season, and, like, I see how many points the Stars have, I'm like, ooh, I kind of want that President's Trophy now. You know, it's totally not a goal until it's, you know, obtainable. And it's, I think it's still obtainable for us if we really wanted to push that hard. So, yeah, my Star is still rocking and rolling. 8 in a row ain't bad. My Dallas Mavericks still rocking and rolling, dude. They won that game yesterday against the Warriors without Luka. That's what you want to see. Kyrie had a great game. I mean, there was just excitement, dude. I haven't watched a lot of NBA teams this season, so take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. But I think the Dallas Mavericks are probably one of the most exciting teams to watch in the NBA. You know, I'm sure there's someone who's more exciting, or possibly a handful of teams who are more exciting. But just the highlights I saw, like I said, I listen to a lot of this stuff on the radio. I feel like I'm constantly driving, and radio's just a good way, you know. Yeah, I listened on the radio, but the highlights I was seeing, just excitement, man. Like, we're pumping up the bench. The Kyrie alley-oop, I think, after they, like, stole a ball. I mean, it was just fun to watch. And I don't even really think, just because it's my team, like, if you were watching from the outside, if you were a Hawks fan, a Pistons fan, whatever, another fan of any other team, and you watch one of our games, I really think it would be pretty exciting. Not only for Luka. You know, just watching Luka, I mean, he's just, he creates waves, dude. Like, I saw a whole montage. If you guys saw that underhand, like, shot he did around the defenseman, dude, I saw people live streaming, like, watching that game live. And there was, like, a montage of different people watching that game live. And just him making that ridiculous shot, I mean, it just, people had to stop, you know, the game. You can, like, pause it in the middle and continue later or whatever. They just had to stop the game just because it's like, who is this guy? He's just, he has a knack for putting the ball in the basket, dude. He just has a knack for it. He did a trick shot before the game. I think it was the same game. I can't remember who we were playing. I want to say it was the Hawks. He did a trick shot off. No, it might have been the Rockets now that I'm thinking about it. It was a red team. But he did a trick shot off the Jumbotron. He threw the ball all the way up to the Jumbotron. It bounces off the Jumbotron and falls into the basket. And it's just like, dude, this guy is just on. You talk about like being tapped in and like brain waves and like, you know, shit like that. This guy's just like, if he has the ball, it's just a magnet to the hoop, dude. He just has a knack for it. So on top of doing that little funny trick shot, I mean, it's so funny to watch him do stuff like that too. He throws the ball off the Jumbotron, goes into the net, and he's just walking away. Everybody else is like doing that whole thing. Oh, you know, like yelling and jumping around. The camera starts shaking and shit. And he's just walking away like, yeah, just casual. And then in that game later that day, he does this weird like underhook shot. It's not even, you can't even call it a hook. The hook shot comes from over the head. He did it from underneath, like if the defenseman has his arms out, like underneath the guy's armpit. Like here goes the ball. And I mean, what? How are you supposed to defend that? No one's blocking up to stop it because it's such a looping shot. The defender that was on him, I mean, who shoots the ball from under your armpit? You know what I mean? Like, it was so, it happened so fast. I mean, it just went right in. And of course, he's smiling, like jogging back and stuff. But everybody else, I mean, on the bench, just going nuts. This guy is something else. And with that said, and I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying this every episode or every time I think about it on these episodes, but the fight in the Dallas Mavericks is awesome to watch. Even without Luka yesterday, man. The clips I did see, I mean, I did listen to a little bit of the game too. They're just fighting constantly. They're not giving up. They're not getting discouraged. If you pay money to go see the Dallas Mavericks, that's the product you want to see as a fan on the floor. I mean, that's the product I want to see, is my team not giving up and keeping your head up. And no matter the odds, it's okay. You know, you live another day. And I know it becomes not that way in the playoffs, but you know, just if they leave it all out there like that and we do lose in the first round, I can't be mad. Am I disappointed? Of course. You know, I want our season to go as long as possible. I want to win the championship, but you know, if they leave it all out there like that, you can't even be mad. You just, at that point, just got beat by a better team. And what can you do about that? You tried your best. That's all we want to see. You know, if we're buying merch and we're buying tickets and we're buying fucking $13 beers at the game and, you know, whatever, that's what we want to see. We want to see the effort, because to get that $13 beer and buy that ticket or that jersey, it took that fan a lot of effort. It took that fan some hours at work to save up that money, you know, to buy those things or, you know, whatever they had to do. So yeah, that's just my point of view. I really respect and appreciate that. When you put that out on the court, and you're playing like that, that makes me feel validated as a fan. Like my hard work went to a good thing. You know, my hard work means I got to go to this game and I got to watch my team work hard. You know, there's nothing more infuriating. And I've seen this with the Stars over some years, which is why I've been so frustrated with them over the years, is just that like give up mentality. It's like you're discouraged and you're just skating slow and you're not getting, it's like, what the fuck, dude? You got a stadium full of people here. You can't, don't do that to them. That's bullshit. They paid for these fucking tickets, dude. You know, it's the same as like an artist, you know, going on stage and they don't play any of their hits. They play all B-sides. It's like, what the, I didn't come here for this. I like your B-side stuff, but play the hits, bro. That's what I paid my ticket for, you know? So anyways, yeah, Stars doing good. Mavericks doing good. Let's take another drink real quick. Cheers, everybody. And of course, you know, we got to talk baseball. My Texas Rangers in a series with the Astros right now, taking two. So far, the it's not even a rubber game. The final game of the series is today, I believe. that Silver Boot series. So with those two wins, I think our overall record for the Silver Boot series, which is only the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros, since we're in-state rivals. We do this thing called the Silver Boot Series, in case you don't know. And overall, the overall record, I can't remember the numbers. I want to say they're in the 400s. With those two wins yesterday and the day before, that puts us 5 games more than them. We've won 5 more games than them. In the Silver Boot Series overall, which is cool. I didn't realize it was that close, but all those years, Houston. Wow, did you hear my stomach? I don't even feel hungry. What was that? All those years, you know, a couple of years ago, Houston is really making up a lot of ground. I have to imagine if you take out the past 4 years, I mean, I would assume we're 20-30 games in the positive for the Silver Boot Series. But over these past couple of years, I mean, it's like we couldn't beat the Astros in a series. You know, we could win a game. And we did win a couple of series in there, but they were just so damn good. That record starts to even up. So really, there's only 5 wins separating us. If they come out next series when we play them and they beat us 3 of those games, I mean, it's back down to 2. Unless we beat them today. I mean, you know how math works. You get it. Really happy about my Rangers taking that Silver Boot first of the series. Love it. We got, like I said, another game with the Astros today. How nice would it be to get a sweep? That'd be great, right? Josh Jung out with a fractured wrist, which really sucks. That happened on April 1st, and the only reason I remember that happening on April 1st is I was hoping it was an April Fool's joke. I was really, really like, please let this organization be trying to play a trick on us, you know. And then you hear Bochy say it and the look on his face, and he's pretty unhappy. It's like, fuck, I think this is real. It's not April Fool's. It's real, man. It sucks. So he's out. But, dude, the kids, you know, on top of Semien, on top of Seager, on top of Heim, I think Heim's still probably considered a kid. Langford, Carter, dude, they're just doing their damn thing. I love it. I love seeing them so young and playing so well. It's like, dude, the future is just, and I don't want to make any comparisons, and they're probably different players, but, and Langford, I'd love to have our own little Mike Trout, you know what I mean? He seems like he could be our own little Mike Trout in a way. I haven't, you know, there's nothing behind that statement I just made. I don't even know if they play the same position, but you know, just the offense, for being so young, I'm just so impressed. I'm super impressed. And I know that has a lot to do with the veterans he's around. That has a lot to do with the manager, Bochy. You know, but you can only teach people so much, you know what I mean? If he doesn't apply these things that he's been taught, which obviously he's applying them because he's in the big leagues, just, you know, hitting these pitchers. So it's really nice to see. I'm loving the Rangers season so far. I mean, I'm not going to look it up right now, but we've got to be first in our division, right? in other baseball news, this was pretty cool. I'm trying to remember her name. She plays for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Danielle Gibson. I had to look at my notes there. Hopefully I didn't mess up the mic. Danielle Gibson did something pretty cool. She plays for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Something that's never been done before in baseball. Granted, they are playing softball. But I think somehow it still counts. It's still, you know, the same game. But she hit for a home run cycle, dude. In her games, I forget who they were playing, but she basically got a single run home run, a 2-run home run, a 3-run home run, and a grand slam all in the same freaking game. That's never been done before. I thought that was so cool. I'm not ever opposed to women's sports. Or women being in sports. I think it's great. I think it's a good thing. And that, you know, just from a guy's perspective, this kind of takes me back to the whole Bill Burr, you know, women failed the WNBA. If you haven't seen that clip, you got to watch it. It's so damn funny. But he's basically saying, you know, women failed the WNBA because, you know, the NBA basically gave you a league and, you know, you have your players complaining about pay and, you know, we don't get paid enough and, all this and that. It's like, well, you don't sell enough tickets, you know, and from a guy's perspective, the reason this is on my radar, I'll tell you the couple of things that are on my radar. Baseball, things like this, going to be on my radar. Women's hockey, I think I like watching that a little bit. You know, I haven't sat down to watch a whole game, but I love the highlights and the clips that I see. Women's UFC, I definitely sit down to watch that. Whenever I can, if I'm watching UFC, I mean, I'm not turning away for the women's fights. I think they're fucking awesome. And in a special way, for the women, they can just last the whole fight. Even if they're getting the shit beat out of them, I mean, they can make it through the whole fight, which makes a great fight. You get that full fight, those full three rounds. What are they, 5-minute rounds? You get that full 15 minutes of just brawling. That's what people want to see. You know, a knockout is cool, you know, but it's like the whole Mike Tyson thing. You know, it's like we got our friends and our family together. We cooked all this food and Tyson knocks him out in 30 seconds. Like, well, what the fuck? That was the main event. Like, what are we supposed to do for the rest of the day? You know, like, shit, it's over. So women's sports, it's not that I'm opposed to women's sports. I'm actually not. I'm the opposite. I love seeing, what's the college, girl's name? The college basketball player who's making all the waves right now. They're saying she could possibly play in the NBA. That's the shit me as a man personally, I want to see. I absolutely want to see that. I'm not opposed to that at all. Am I sitting down watching WNBA games? No. But it goes back to, you know, what Bill Burr says. I have men's sports to pay attention to. You know what I mean? Like women's when I can, you know, they can mix in. Or if they're going to do incredible things, that's what they need. They need those star players. They need those Michael Jordans of the WNBA. And I know they've tried, you know, to make some stars and some celebrities. You know, these are the best players. But it's still being the best player in that league. Is not comparative to being a bad player. I mean, you would be worse than the worst player in the WNBA. You know what I mean? So hopefully that's changing. And hopefully, you know, these women, I mean, if it's an option, I don't even know how it all works. But if it's an option to go to the NBA for her, Caitlin, oh, I can't remember. Caitlin, it just hit me. I just saw her number. She's like number 66, like a cream-colored jersey. Caitlin something or other. That's what I like to see, you know, things that have never happened before, like this home run cycle that I'm talking about with this softball player. Yes, I love it. I love to see that. Women's soccer, dude. I've praised women's soccer for years on this podcast, just in comparison to men's soccer. Men's soccer, y'all are a bunch of fucking pussies, dude. Like, y'all fall down for everything and cry, and as soon as you get the call, you get up and you're ready to take the free kick. It's like, fuck you, dude. We know you're faking. Women don't do that shit. I love that. I respect that so much more. That, you know, they're out there just playing, dude. You know, and it gets rough sometimes, you know. But yeah, I've never been opposed to women's sports. It's just, you know, like, I have a lot I watch already, but when these amazing things happen, it definitely brings attention. It gets my attention. And then obviously I talk about it on this show, which hopefully gives it a little more attention. But yeah, that's what we want to see. If it's a man or a woman, we want to see you doing things that have never been done before, pushing the limits, obviously becoming super athletes, you know. And obviously over the years, you know, we're just getting smarter and better and learning how to make our athletes stronger and faster, and, you know, whatever psychological things you have to tell them to get them to do what they're capable of doing. I mean, it's a whole thing. It all comes into play. It's not just physical, it's mental too. So yeah, that was pretty cool, man. Hitting for the home run cycle, never heard of that before. single home run, solo home run, a two-run home run, a three-run home run, and a grand slam all in the same game. I'm pretty sure they won the game. I actually didn't even look. But I like softball too, man. Those girls can play. You know, they're diving in the dirt. They're jumping, you know, fences to try to catch the home run ball. I mean, they can play. That's what you want to see. You don't want to see some watered-down version. Unfortunately, most of the WNBA is the watered-down version. You can watch a college game, a college men's game, and they score more points than the professional. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not exciting. You know, it's not as exciting. So, anyways, there's my little take. I thought that was cool. Let's see. That's it. That's going to do it for me. I got a little bit left here. If you got some, drink it. Cheers. Bottoms up. A little bit more than I thought. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for me. I will talk to you next week. We'll see what shifts after next week because of this eclipse. We'll see what shifts, what changes if the sun falls out of the sky. We'll see. I'll talk to you guys next week. As always, don't drink and drive. Treat yourself to an Uber. Treat yourself to a Lyft. I love you all. Be safe out there. Talk to you next week.